your presence there is freedom. In your presence there is hope. In your presence there is healing. Love restores me. I am whole. No matter how far I run, you are with me. No matter how far I fall, your love is everlasting. Your kindness never ends. God, you never leave me. Your presence goes before us. Your glory has no end. God, you never leave me. In your presence there is power. Through your spirit, strength will rise. In your presence, there is mercy. In your presence, I'm alive. No matter how far I run, you are with me. No matter how far I fall, your love is everlasting. Your kindness never ends. God, you never leave me. Your presence goes before us. Your glory has no end. God, you never leave me.
Safe, and And as I look around, I realize that some of you might be a little scared to go deeper. You may not know what it's like to go a little bit deeper with God. There may be certain things in your life that you're thinking about that may prohibit you from going deeper. But I just want to encourage you, like Pastor Zach said, this is a safe environment. When Jesus, when he died on the cross, he gave everything. He gave everything for us. And so worship is a response to the revelation that God gives us. And I just encourage you, just take that next step in your faith, that next step in your worship, to go a little bit deeper. Let's give everything to our God tonight. Let's not walk out of here thinking, oh, I wish I would have gave a little bit more. I wish I would have gotten a little bit more out of it. So can we just take that time right now just to take that next step? Let's just go a little bit deeper. Let's press in a little bit more to his presence, because he's here and he wants to do something in your heart tonight. So let's just close our eyes. Let's give everything we have to our God. God, we're so thankful for your presence here tonight. We're so thankful that you're a God that loves us. You're a Father that loves us, that cares for us, Lord God. You have a plan for us, Lord God, and we give everything to you. We give everything to you in this time of worship. Let's sing this out together. Let's sing, open our eyes. Thank you. worship you, Jesus. We praise you.
Says, let the fruit of your lips give God praise. It's a perfect time to just begin to pray out to God and just thank Him. As every breath is a gift from heaven. God, you're just so good. Thank you, Dad. Thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. thank you that you didn't abandon us or leave us behind. God, when we were in a lost and desperate state, you came and you rescued us. God, I thank you that you love us with the same love that you love your son. Oh, Father, thank you. And we pray that you show up like a mighty rushing wind in this place and move on all of our hearts. Do something in our lives we will never forget. Come on, guys, let's just rest right now, just in his presence. Let's just rest in it. Thank you, Father. Come on, just let God speak to your heart. Picture your burden. Picture your issue. Picture that thing that you're expecting God to do in your life in a positive note. Picture him taking that right now. Just decide in your heart to give up and to let go. To speak out to God. Sometimes you just have to hum something or sing something. It's like, God, you're great. Don't ever be embarrassed to worship God. Man, we're going to continue to press into him. We're going to continue to let God do something in our heart. Man, let's respect this time, you know? How many of you just like, dude, God's here. God's here, you know? God's here, you know? It's really sweet. The Bible says when two or more gather in his name, there he is in the midst of them. I mean, the only thing that we need for God to show up is just gathering together and just diligently and sincerely seeking him. And here he is. We don't have to beg God to come. We don't have to ask him, would you just show up? Would you just show up? And hopefully he shows up and may not. I mean, it's a promise that God is here right now. Isn't that sweet? You know that when you're in your room alone at night and you wake up in the middle of the night and feel scared, you feel lonely, you feel whatever, that God is with you in that time just like he is right now. I want you to expect God to do something in your life. Expect God to do something in your life that you'll never forget. Man, I believe that that's going to happen. When I was over here, I was just praying, God, would you just show up like a mighty rushing wind? I felt like that prayer was anointed by God. I feel like he wants to show up like a mighty rushing wind in this place. See, sometimes we see the Holy Spirit show up in a gentle whisper, and then we see it as a mighty rushing wind in the Bible. And I feel like God is urging me to tell you guys to expect, because he is going to show up in a way that you're never going to forget, never going to forget. Isn't God good? It's awesome. So let's pray real quick, because we've got just a couple minutes, about 15, 20 minutes of time where a good friend of ours is going to be sharing the message and just along these lines, and then we're going to continue back in worship, and we might pray for people, we might just kind of sit around for a little bit and do nothing. Whatever God wants us to do, we're going to do it. So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for the word that you speak tonight to all of us. And we thank you that we can have an all-worship night. We can sing out praises to you, but God, I thank you that we can experience you. God, I pray that every teenager understands the power of God and gets exactly what they're expecting out of you over the next couple of days. Father, we pray for the word that Sean is going to bring forth. We just pray that it falls on the good ground of our heart and it takes us further in our expectation. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, my friends, how many of you were here in the days when Sean Moore was here? Come on, let's put our hands together. Sean Moore is here. Who's excited to see Sean, dude? Now, one thing that I'm going to share about Sean, and I'm going to embarrass him a little bit, is Sean's story is a story of faithfulness. I remember in 2006, I came on here, on staff here, and I saw Sean as a teenager. In 2006, you were how old? He was 18 when I came on staff. But I was serving before that, and I saw him kind of go through high school. And I remember when the first day that he came and talking with him. Sean actually was on the maintenance staff here at the church, and he was mopping over here. And Sean was involved in just helping out with worship on the worship team here with Thrive. And man, it was awesome to see that God promoted him, took him from a janitor to the worship leader with us. And then how many of you probably remember this, the day that we sent Sean off. It was a day that we're all excited about for him, but like sorrowful with us. We were all kind of bummed because Sean played such a great role in so many of our lives in this room right now. But Sean is now our worship leader. He and Ellie together are leading worship in the main church every Sunday. And so if you ever go to church on Sunday and you see Sean up there, it's a familiar face because his roots are here. Now, Sean's got a ministry that goes beyond leading worship, I believe. He's a fantastic communicator, and I'm excited for the message that God has brought to his heart to share with us. So let's put our hands together in the loudest way possible for our man, Sean Moore. Thanks, man.
Yea, verily. I was just thinking about like the number of times like leading worship, because you were like leading like in the senior high with worship, and I was mostly in the junior high whenever we were split and stuff. And then like we really didn't get to lead worship like together hardly at all, which is so sad. It's so sad. Yeah, we should. Yeah. But yeah, dude, you guys should totally come to Big Church, as I like to call it. Maybe you call it the same thing. It's such a church, like if you've grown up in, do you guys call it Big Church, by the way? Do we call church Big Church? It's just a church culture thing. I love it. It's awesome. And you guys should totally come to Big Church on Sundays. I know you guys have Thrive on Saturdays. But if at all possible, because we need you. we need your youthfulness to help show up those old fogies sometimes. You know, sometimes they just need to wake up because it's Sunday morning and they're a little bit dragging. I know you may be too, but, you know, they need you. And the other side of it is too, though, honestly, like you need them, some people, men, to see like them, people with experience who have, men, walked with God a long time. And it's awesome to see that. But really, so I invite you to come join us sometime. Dude, worship's awesome tonight, huh? God is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, also, dude, I love these guys. I love Joe, Mara, Ellie, everybody up there. Man, I just love their hearts after God. And man, I personally, man, I'm so like passionate about like the moments like what we just had there at the end where we can just like be quiet and no one has to say or do really anything. And man, I'm so like passionate about those moments because it's like no one can take any credit for what's happening at the moment. No one can say like, oh man, because you sang that song so well, man, I was moved. Or no one can say because you pulled off this totally amazing guitar riff or the drum fill and this, the cymbals and the drums and everything was just pumping, the sound was pumping, whatever it was. No one can possibly say that the only possible explanation for anyone getting anything good out of that moment is God. And that's it. And I love that. I'm passionate about those times. I'm so, man, it's so awesome when those times happen. And it's good. It's good. Man, does anybody have a Steelers game update for us? I'm just curious. Did they win? Did the Chiefs win? Or, no, Chiefs? The Chargers? Okay, so we're out of the playoffs. Okay, that's sidetracked. But, dude, the Steelers, oh well, better luck next time. But I remember favorable days back in the day. Does anybody remember whenever we won the Super Bowl? Whenever Santonio Holmes, who has forsaken us and become completely godless and pagan now because he's left us, whenever he caught the touchdown in the back of the end zone, last minute against the Arizona Cardinals, right? An epic moment. I just remember during that game because we had like this big Super Bowl party over at my parents' house. It was awesome, and I remember whenever that moment happened, dude, we were all going nuts. I'm sure you guys are going nuts too, but man, my dad like kind of leaped over the couch and like landed on Pastor John. I don't even know who else was sitting there. Actually, it was an awesome moment. He had to be there for it to completely realize how sweet it was. And I love how like sporting events seem to bring out like the most like expressive like expressions ever. Like, man, it brings out this like passion that's just so awesome that it's almost like you can get it in few places. You know, sporting events are an awesome, like, safe place for people to act totally crazy. You may have parents, relatives, whoever, who just go nuts at sporting events. That crazy uncle who just will not stop yelling at the TV. It's awesome. And I love how that brings us out. And yet, I kind of think about, though, like, what if church looked maybe more like that? And sometimes I think about, like, man, why is it sometimes that it seems like sporting events, like concerts, Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, T-Swizzle. It's amazing how like those kind of events can bring out such passion in people. It's almost like the most amazing thing that's really going on isn't necessarily what's on the stage, but I kind of like looking at people while they're looking at whatever's going on, while they're spectating. And I love seeing like people's response because it's like, you don't normally act like this. People just go into this like altered mood state sometimes. And it's amazing. And I just got to wonder, man, like what is this maybe closer to what church should look like, what worship should sometimes look like than what church actually looks like? And to think about that sometimes, that expression. And so like I got to thinking about, man, what can possibly help us to bridge the gap between like the Taylor Swift concert where people are just cheering, going, "That's Taylor! I love you!" And they're just crying, and it's like, you don't even know her. You might have liked her Facebook page, and that's like the closest interaction you've ever had with her, and that's it. But man, I think about, man, what can help us like bridge the gap between the two things? Two ingredients. I want to talk about just these two things. That's it. And we're going to get back into it because I don't want to, man, let's worship. It's better. I kind of like practicing these things more than talking about them, to be honest. But I just want to talk about two ingredients. Two ingredients in worship. If you have notes, you want to take notes, awesome. If not, no pressure. But two ingredients. That's it. And we've really kind of been talking about them in some small ways. And it's cool. But the first one is super simple. It's faith. You've heard about it. Pastor Zach was talking about it. Faith. Faith. I want to read you a verse here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I'm reading out of the ESV. It says this, "And without faith it is impossible to please him," talking about God, "for whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists," or that he is, "and that he rewards those who seek him." Again, Zach read this earlier. Two things. Believe that you can draw near to God, that he exists, that he is, he's present, and that you can believe that he rewards those who seek him. And it's just that simple. Man, do you believe that when you draw near to God, first of all, do you believe you can draw near to God? Because a lot of times we can believe that there's something that hinders us from actually getting close to God. And there may very well be some things inside of our hearts that keep us from drawing near to God in a moment. But you know what? You can take that with you. You can bring that issue with you, those things in your heart. It doesn't have to keep you back from God. It doesn't have to hold you back. But you can diligently seek after God. Believe you can draw near to God and believe that he rewards you whenever you seek him. You can have an expectation of good when you come before God. God's not waiting to just backhand you whenever you get to him. Just slap you upside the head and say, "Man, you've been so stupid recently. You haven't been reading your Bible enough, like at all. And I'm greatly disappointed. How dare you come before me?" Like, that's not God. God wants to give good stuff to you. In fact, listen, guys, he's given you Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That's no small thing. It wasn't some easy process for him to pay for all of our sins, and yet he did that. And yet, somehow in our minds, sometimes we think that God will give us less than that. He's given us his son. What will he possibly hold back from you? What is there possibly that you could need right now from God? What could you possibly need to hear right now from God that he will not give to you? He's given you Jesus. Come on, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, There's nothing that he will withhold from you. He's a rewarder. He gives you good stuff. Somebody say good stuff. Good stuff. Even if you don't feel qualified to seek God, if you don't feel like you can draw near to God and believe that he's good, he wants to reward you, check out Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's draw near with a true heart. Let's draw near to God sincerely, full assurance, knowing, guess what? Our hearts have been sprinkled clean. The blood of Jesus has washed you clean. You can come before Jesus tonight. You can encounter him if anything's holding you back. And here's the thing about faith, is that faith, it's got to be about more than merely believing. It's great to have faith. And listen, you have faith. Don't think that like somehow like faith is like way off in the distance and like, well, I just believe. No, believing is faith. You have that expectation. You have that belief. Man, that's awesome. But there, you know, it can't end merely with, I believe. I just believe it. There's got to be faith plus another ingredient, and that's action. Because if all we have is just the belief that God exists, all we have is just even just the expectation that when we seek God, it's going to be good, it's going to be dead. It's going to be stopped in that phase. And you're not going to see any results as a result of that faith because there's no action. And so whenever we come to God in worship, what does that look like? Do we really believe? Just, you can answer out loud if you want to. Do you really believe that God is great? You can nod or whatever. Yeah. Do you really believe that God is good? Do you really believe that God like spoke the universe into being? No small feat, my friends. Do you really believe that? That's like crazy. What does it look like to respond to a God who spoke the universe into existence? Who made everything just by talking? What does it look like to respond to a God who sacrificed his son and rose him from the dead just for you so you can be in this relationship with him? What does it look like to respond to that with kind of a powerful, amazing God? It's amazing the response that we can have, right, to a concert. It's amazing the response that we can have to sporting events. And none of those things are necessarily bad. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, if that's the response that a sports team can elicit, if that's the response that a band can elicit, a singer, a performer, then their glory does not even compare to the glory of God. And yet that's the response that they elicit. How much more then does God deserve? How much more should our praise and our worship reflect his greatness? And it's not to make us feel bad because you went crazy at a Twee Swizzle concert or whatever. If you have Bieber fever, it's okay. There's healing for you. It's okay. It's all right. We'll pray for you. Or One Direction, you know? But the point is this. Come on. If God really is great, if he really is all these things that we say that we believe, well, where's the corresponding action? And it's one of the unique things about worship and services that we have, this time of worship and praise. Don't miss it. Don't pass it up. Because it's an opportunity to put what you believe in action. And the time that we have, man, listening to teaching and sermons and preaching, it's awesome. I love it. But you know what? Even that, it's awesome. But the unique thing about worship is that it's a time where we actually get to take the faith, the things that we've heard, and put it into practice and put it into action in the service. Where we can actually act on these things. Man, we believe that God is good. God is love. We can seek him. We can draw near to him. Let's do that. Let's take advantage of that. Because when we do, whenever we seek him, we will find him. Number two ingredient. Number one ingredient is faith. Number two, freedom. It's freedom. Faith and freedom. These aren't the only two ingredients, obviously. These are just the two we're going to talk about real quick tonight. Freedom. Question for you, why is it that we expect and permit a higher level of expression at a sporting event or a concert than a church or at a church service? You know, it's amazing, like, the things that are, like, acceptable. I mean, people are, like, painting their faces. I'm not saying we should paint faces and go to church, obviously. But, and all these kind of crazy expressions, and people are just going nuts. Yeah! Somebody scored a touchdown, and people go nuts. And it's awesome. People jumping up and down, all these kind of things. And again, it gets back to this thing. Wait a minute, what kind of response should God elicit out of us? If we really see Him for who He is, we have that expectation of good. Man, there's got to be freedom. And there is, man. There's freedom. You know, I think about the picture that we see in Isaiah of what, man, being at the throne of God is. You know, when we have that access. The picture of being there worshiping God, like right there with God. It's an amazing picture that Isaiah, here, he has this like vision. He's taken up into heaven, and it's crazy. And what's going on up in heaven, this praise and worship is going on. It's nothing like you've ever encountered on this earth. I guarantee it. And it's this picture where God's on the throne, and we see like there's these creatures like flying around, singing about God's holiness, singing about how amazing He is, how timeless He is. Singing these songs, and there's all these guys who are like falling down, bowing down, worshiping God. And there's like an earthquake going on. The whole place is shaking. And the whole place is filled with smoke. It's a crazy, crazy scene. It's not like just like quiet and serene and everyone's just prim and proper and no one really does anything, you know, too loud. It's a crazy scene. And worship, man, if it's really gonna be, there has to be latitude and permission given. And so if you haven't felt like this already has been, but if you haven't already felt permission, man, there's permission to express your heart to God. There's permission, man, to sing out of your heart unto God. You know, one of the things along this line that really struck me, that hit home for me with worship, and when worship became real to me, it wasn't because I heard a message on it. It's because I saw this freedom to worship and a heart to worship in other people. In fact, I was at a meeting kind of similar to this at a camp. It was at Jack back in the day. It would have been 2003. Whew. That's right, folks. That was 10 years ago. I am old. But I was there at summer camp at Jack. And, dude, it was like my first experience. I'd grown up in church, been in services, all that good stuff. All right? But I never quite experienced a service specifically like that one. Because in that time, just from the get-go, from that first night, the first service, I could see in the people around me that they didn't quite worship like maybe some of the other people I had seen worship in other services. It was different. It was unique. And the thing that struck me with it was just how people were they were expressive. And I'd seen people express things. I've seen people kind of like, in an obligatory way, like we have to do this. Okay, it's a slow song. We lift our hands now. This is what we do. We are in church. But this was actually like they wanted to do this. You crazy people, you. They wanted to. They wanted to lift up their hands and worship God. And it was real. It was like God was actually real to them. Imagine that. Like He could hear their praise and hear their worship and see their hearts. And it was crazy. Like, and I wasn't like freaked out. It was just kind of like, whoa. Like what's there's something present here that maybe I haven't always felt present. And there's something that happens, man, whenever people are not afraid to worship God. There's something that happens with that where God honors that. Because it's, well, ultimately it goes back to pride. When we're afraid, man, to open up our hearts and be like, I don't care who sees me. I don't care what it looks like. God, I care more about what you think than what anybody else thinks. I care more about who you are and me just praising you than I care about anybody else in this room at this moment. And I don't mean that in a sense that like, hey, who cares? I'm just going to do my thing. I don't mean it in that way. I mean, I'm not stuck on what I look like. I'm not stuck on what I sound like. And this is where, as a worship leader, I love the crazy people. You guys know what I mean? I love the crazies. I really do. I love the crazy worshipers, and I think sometimes you kind of need some of them to kind of help people out. Because the crazy worshiper people who are like, oftentimes they're usually at the front, not always, and they just go crazy. They lift their hands, they do stuff, they dance around and stuff, and maybe it makes people uncomfortable. But the cool thing about the crazy people is that they're so out there that they release everybody else to just be normal. Seriously. And it's awesome. I love it. And man, we need that sometimes. We just need to kind of see like, okay, it's all right. It's okay. I don't have to feel embarrassed, and help us get over ourselves. And so awesome. I want to share just a few things real quick as we close this up. In fact, worship team, you guys can go ahead and come back up. So I want to share just some expressions of worship that we see in the Bible. I'm not going to read the verses because we don't have time. I'm just going to list them off to you. And it's kind of one of those, like, trust me, they're in the Bible. You can look them up, find them in Psalms. But there's 9. And this may or not be the total list, but it's a good start. 9 expressions of worship. If you're like, what do I do in worship? What does the Bible talk about when it talks about me being free to express worship? I divided them up just in terms of like things with your hands, with your voice, and with your posture, with your body. With your hands, there's clapping, there's lifting your hands, there's playing instruments. With your voice, there's singing, there's speaking, there's also shouting. All those things. There's also with your posture, with your body, there's bowing down before God. It's an act of reverence and honor before God. There's also dancing. Dancing before the Lord. David danced. King David wrote a bunch of the Psalms. In fact, David danced so hard that he was not completely properly clothed. And this wasn't a private expression of worship. It was a very public expression of worship. And there's also what we were just doing earlier, which is just standing still. Just being still before God. Not saying anything, not doing anything, not just being still. Just those 9 things. Now I encourage you, maybe there's some of these things that don't like necessarily like feel the most comfortable to you, and that's totally understandable. Listen, I'm cautious by nature. I am not naturally a very expressive person. I'm really not. But I encourage you to kind of let go of the timidity, of being timid, feeling the pressure of other people's opinions, of letting go of that. And in place of that, valuing God, what He sees, and being willing, man, just to focus on Him. Coming to Him with faith, knowing you can draw near to God right now. You don't have to wait till you're living a better life or whatever, like you've read the Bible enough, whatever. You can draw near to God in faith, believing that He's good. And you can also draw near to God in freedom. Man, to express that heart to God. I'm just going to read this quote, and we'll go ahead and get back into worship here. It's a quote by a guy, a man crush of mine, if you will. Who's Jeremy Riddle? He's the man. Read this to you. It says, when a people get together and set their hearts and minds on Jesus, it creates a landing pad for His presence. And when He shows up, all of heaven shows up with Him. So let's do that. Let's set our hearts and minds on Jesus. And let's allow God, man, to move in this place. The presence of God, it's like air. Air's present everywhere. Move your hand in the air real quick. Feel that little bit of breeze, a little bit of resistance in the air? So you don't, air is not nothing. Sometimes it seems like nothing because it's not moving. But God's presence, it's everywhere. David said, I could even make my bed in hell and still your presence is there. You may not necessarily feel it. You may not necessarily be aware of it in a place like that, right? There's places you can go in the world where it feels like God isn't there. You may feel like that. The difference is movement. You become more aware of the air when it's moving. It's called wind. And so, man, let's do that. Let's set our hearts and minds on God and allow Him, man, to move in this place as we draw near to God in faith and in freedom. Let's do that. Okay, let's go ahead and stand up on our feet. I'll pray over us real quick. In fact, you can go ahead and come up. I'll get out of the way. Oh.
All right, guys, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you that we can draw near to you right now in faith, believing who you are, expecting good from you, and we can also, Lord, be free. We can be free in this place, free from pride, free from the opinions of other people. Lord, we're free in this place to worship you because you've paved the way by your blood, your sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's risen to life, and so now we praise you. We thank you for it because you are good. You're a good God, and we choose to seek you now. We choose to seek you now, and we glorify you, Father. We thank you for the moving of your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Presence at to my rescue when I wanna be where you are.
One more time, I called and you answered.
I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue when I,
just her voices,
wanna be where you are, oh, where you are. For the honor of the Father who reaches out to us that we might live inside his love. He gave his only son. For the honor of the Savior, let the cross be lifted high. The great exchange of love and grace came down to give us life. Oh, 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 oh. Honor the Spirit, for the honor of the Spirit's power lives in. Things as we embrace your love,
the honor of your kingdom,
for the honor of your kingdom, whose reign will never end. We'll give our lives in sacrifice until you come again. Oh,
for the honor of the Savior at the cross he lifted high. The great exchange of love and grace came down to give us life.
We worship you. We worship you, God. All your presence is here. We magnify you. You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call.
Come on, sing it out.
Borders, let me walk upon the waters.
my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water.
Scripture that I want to read to you guys, and Lauren has something on her heart that she wants to share. Scripture says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, God is always on alert. Okay, God is always on alert. He's always on the alert. He's always looking. He's always searching. What's he searching for? I mean, think about God looking for something. God searching for something. We don't really see this very often in the scriptures, but here's what he's always looking for. It says, God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. That's an amazing scripture. And I want to let you know that I don't know that I've ever heard you sing that loud before. I don't know that I've ever heard you sing that purely before. And I want to let you know as your pastor how proud of you that I am, because God is looking for these moments right now where you're purely seeking after him. He's on alert. He's searching for these moments right now. And Lauren and I just want to share how proud of you that we absolutely are.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if some of you here tonight maybe have never heard those words before, or maybe have never felt the approval or the affection or the attention from mom or dad or from people that you really look up to. But you just need to know, can I have everybody look at me in the eyes? Can I tell you something? God is pleased with you. He's pleased with you. You know, you'll disappoint people. You'll fail people. You'll disappoint your mom and dad and your friends and people that you look up to. You cannot please everybody, but you can please God. And he's pleased with you. And he's proud of you. He's very proud of you. So don't feel that you're secondhand trash or you're, I've done so many things wrong and God can never accept me or never, you know. He's proud of you. Can you come here real quick? Yes.
Rose.
Baby, he's proud of you. Okay? You need to know that. That he has covered you with his love. And he's saying, I have a plan for your life. You know, people around you may look at you and say, that girl's never going to amount to anything or this or that. But God has his hand on you. And he's proud of you. You start living like you have the King of all kings beside you, walking beside you, standing with you, fighting with you. Doesn't matter what people say. What matters is what he says about you. And he's called you his child. He's called you beautiful. He's called you more than enough. Don't ever let that go. He is proud of you. All right? And guys, that goes for everybody here in this place. God is proud of you and he's pleased with you. Don't let your yesterdays define tomorrow. You can make a choice tonight. This is your night. You can make a choice to say, Lord, I'm not a failure. I've messed up, but I'm not a mess up. I've made mistakes. I've screwed up, but I'm not a screw up. The story is not over yet. Sometimes we put a period where God puts a little comma. Your story is not done yet. He's not through with you yet. And he is just, man, I'm telling you, he wants me to tell you guys that he is just, he's here. And he sees you guys searching after him and seeking him. And he's like, yes. It's making his heart so proud to know that there are world changers in this room that are going to make a difference. And they're going to seek him and love him and never be the same. Can you guys have a seat for a second? Where you're at. Just sit down for a second. We just want to do something real quick. Band, are you guys cool with just going with the flow? Awesome. Aren't you guys so thankful for a band? Man, they love you guys so much. They're awesome.
Michael and Matthias are going to pass out a piece of paper and a pen to every person here, okay? It's going to take them a little bit. But, you know, as Lauren was saying, that God's proud, you know, of you. You know, sometimes I feel like as pastors and as your pastors, you know, we feel the heart of God for your life. And sometimes, I, you know, if I shake you and tell you, man, I love you, a lot of times that's God shaking you and telling you that he loves you. And a lot of times when we feel like, man, we're just so proud of you. Like, I'm gonna speak up about my boy Zach here. Don't know if you know much about Zach's life, but Zach has not had an easy life. And I look at him every day, every week. He's standing up here worshiping God, going after God, and he has not had an easy life at all. People look at him and they don't know much about him, and he just kind of goes week in and week out. Man, and he searches after God. Even though he doesn't have all of his questions answered, he's a leader in his family. Man, how many brothers and sisters do you have, man? 5 brothers and sisters. He's the oldest. And I've seen him take care of every one of those kids. I've seen him lead that in that family as a young man. And I've watched him grow up as a little kid. You remember, Zach? I used to come over and just give you a noogie whenever you were like 5 years old, I feel like. I've watched this man grow up into the man that he's becoming, and God is so proud of you, and we're so proud of you. And guys, there's so many people here that we could go to every single person and just say, we are so proud of you. But when we say that we're proud of you, it's because God is saying that he is so proud of you. Some of you really have never heard that in your entire life, and you need to know it. So I want you to close your eyes real quick with me, okay? Take a big deep breath in, a big deep breath out. Just relax and just repeat after me. God, come on, repeat after me. Say, God is proud of me. I may have done wrong. I may have failed. But that doesn't matter, because God's still proud of me. You can open your eyes up. What we want you to do is I want you, as we, you know, continue in an atmosphere of expectation, I want you to write some things down on that piece of paper, and you're going to keep that piece of paper with you. I want you to write down on that piece of paper what you're expecting from God over the next 3 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And we got some great stuff happening. Tomorrow morning, Ryan Paskey is going to be here. Tomorrow afternoon, thank you, 1 o'clock. He's going to be here. Ryan Paskey is unbelievable. When he comes here, he's coming with a word that he feels from God. He's not coming with something that he thinks is cool. He really feels, and I've talked with him about his message, he really feels that, man, this is a message that's going to change people's lives because it's a God-breathed message. We have a special surprise tomorrow night. Should I give it away? Should. And this, two people said no. I'm going to give it away. Uh-huh, I am. So, I'm sorry. Okay, for one person, I'm not going to give it away. And everybody said
close
boo,
ears,
right?
Sarah.
Close
you
your ears. Yep, earmuffs. Guys, I don't know if you remember Chris Musgrove. Anybody remember Chris Musgrove? He's going to be with us tomorrow night, actually, here at Thrive tomorrow night at Jack Frost. Chris Musgrove is going to be sharing the Word of God. He is so... Chris is like crazy, He talks about a mile a minute. He's a Floridian guy. He spoke at Jack 2 years ago, not this past year. But Chris is amazing. He's been in and out of this church. We support him. He runs a huge organization. It's much like Silver Ring Thing down in the South. And man, come expecting tomorrow night that God's going to do something because he flows. He understands the Spirit of God. He's somebody that I look up to so much in the faith. And he's going to be here with us tomorrow night. But what I want you to do is write down 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, a million bazillion things that you're expecting God to do in your life. Because I believe that the theme of this is that God is going to meet us where our expectations are. If we expect God to meet us right here, if we expect these things up here, then God's going to meet us. But if our expectation is very low, is right here, well, then God's going to meet that for us. But God's not going to move beyond our expectation. I want you to write down exactly what you're expecting. If you're expecting healing in your body, write it down. If you're expecting help from emotional pain, write it down. If you're expecting a loved one to come to the Lord, write it down. If you're expecting just to take one step further with God, write it down. But write down anything that comes to your mind that you're going to expect God, because that is your anthem of faith. That's what you're going to look at for the next 3 days and say, God, I'm expecting this. I'm expecting this. I'm expecting you to move in this area.
What we're going to do is, so you guys just take a moment here. The band is going to do one song while you guys write these. I don't want you to just write them down. I want you to literally, what we want you to do is write them down and take this next song to just, man, focus in on God and say, Lord, I need your help with this. And just stay quiet before God, okay? Just stay quiet before God. And when you feel ready, when you feel like it's time for you to stand up and hold whatever God's going to do in your life up, we want you to stand up bold with that white piece of paper. You can fold it up. We want you to hold it up in worship and saying, Lord, and that's going to be your sign of, Lord, this is what I need help with. God, help me with this, or give me this. Or maybe it's a dream that God has put on the inside of you. Or maybe it's just you're not really sure. Maybe you want an answer about something. Or maybe you just want peace in your life. It could just be whatever you're expecting God to do, okay? And when you feel ready during this next song, when you feel it's time and you feel at peace about it, just stand up and hold that piece of paper up boldly during worship. They're only going to do a couple more songs after that, so we're almost done. But listen, this is the time where you guys can really focus in. It's so hard to get quiet before God, especially in everything that we have going on. But now is the time where you don't have to be anywhere for a little bit. Now is the time that you can truly reflect with what you're going to write on that piece of paper. And if you don't know yet, it's okay. Don't just write something down just to write it down. Think about it. Pray about it. Say, Lord, show me. Maybe it's something you feel like you need to change in your life. Like, man, I didn't make this change in my life. I need to change how I treat my parents. I need to change how I treat my friends or my family. Maybe it's just something simple like that. You know, God meets you wherever you're at. He just meets you and he wants to help you. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you did, he wants to meet you where you're at, all right? Will you guys close your eyes with me real quick? Father God, I thank you, Lord, for every single teenager in this place, that it is not an accident or by chance that they are in this room, but they are in this room, Lord, because you are wanting to do something in them and through them. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for your perfect peace to just cover this place, Father. That whatever is going on in their lives, whatever they're writing down on that piece of paper, Lord, they find the answers, they find the freedom, they find the grace to do whatever it is on this piece of paper, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you see their hearts. You know what's going on in their lives, Lord. You know every inch of their hearts, and you still love them. And I thank you, Lord, that you can help them with every single need that they have, no matter where they're at in life. Lord, that you start a fire inside of them, Father God, that you renew something in their hearts in the name of Jesus. Things that were lost, things that were dead, you bring it to life, Father. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, 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 all sufficient.